And we are back. Couch Company Podcast. I'm John. With me as always, Tyler.
Greetings.
Okay. Off the list.
Yep.
We're back with another episode. Couch Company Podcast. I forgot what I was going to say. Had it all lined up.
I threw you off track with the greetings.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard greetings in like 10 years.
It's very old school.
It's very old school. Yeah. It's like a Christmas card.
Yeah,
like greetings.
Well, that's later on. I have that in my back pocket.
For the holidays?
Yeah.
That'll be the final stretch, right?
Yep.
And I think that might be tough because you get a little tripped up maybe saying some similar things at that time of year.
I'm saying a new intro every time for people who are very confused with what's going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for those keeping track.
Greetings.
That's the cool...
Yeah.
The cool crowd.
I didn't say hello yet, huh?
I don't think so.
Yeah. That's also.
Or maybe you did and I'm just trying to trick you.
I said halo.
You did?
Yeah. Not hello.
Maybe.
I'll poke that bear. We'll see.
Absolutely. please do.
I'll dip my toe in that.
Please
pond.
Do. Someone will have to
that
check
pond
you.
Of something.
Yeah. That's the game we're playing though, is like who's gonna actually check?
Yeah.
And that's,
it's like the drinking game
tough.
Of like you have to, or like Kings, where you go around the horn and you have to say Pokemon or something.
Yeah.
And you have to remember what everyone's saying
right.
without repeating.
Right.
That's what this feels like. But in a worse way, because you have just 7 days in between each one.
Right.
That's tough.
But I feel like you're so committed to it now that it's like always on your mind.
I panicked for a second.
Yeah. That checks.
Yeah.
You remember Kings, the restaurant?
Yeah.
With the frowny brownie?
With the
brownie?
Biscuits? Oh, yeah. With the frowny brownie. The anti-smiley cookie from Eden
Park. Yeah, it was like,
yeah.
There were like rivals.
Yep.
I guess like people not from Pennsylvania don't know what Eden Park is.
Yeah.
It's like a,
did they,
it's
they,
like a diner?
Yeah, Big Boys.
What's that?
It's Eden Park. I think Big Boys is, I could be way off. So
you might be.
Don't write in. But
I'm not.
I think Big Boys is more of like a nationwide thing.
Okay.
And then the closer you get to kind of where we are, it turns into Eaton Park. I think it's by the same people.
It's kind of like Denny's.
Kind of like Denny's.
Yeah, Denny's is nationwide. Anyways, Eaton Park has smiley face cookies. It's like their signature thingy.
Mm-hmm.
So, a little context for the audience. Yeah. You're like, not here, like,
Kings,
I've lived here my whole life.
Kings is gone now, right? Like, they're just
I think
done?
So.
Yeah.
They gave me food poisoning once, so that checks.
Their biscuits were either very good or terrible. There was never middle ground.
Yeah.
We always went to King's for funerals, which was never great. So when my grandma passed away, when my grandpa passed away, when my great aunt passed away, King's was the
spot
restaurant.
You'd always
so
end
we
up
would,
at.
Yeah, we'd go to the funeral or like the viewing.
Yeah.
And then it's like a break. Because it was like you did it. It was always one day. And it was like the morning shift and then like the evening shift. And there was like a kind of like a lunch in between. And we'd go to Denny's because it was like fairly close to the funeral home. So Denny's doesn't have great memories for me,
oh,
I guess.
Wow.
And then it was that. And then we went to, it's not China Sea. Oh, it's the...
China Star?
No, Sesame Inn. We went to the Sesame Inn.
Oh, Sesame Inn.
Yeah, that was a kind of... We were going to go to King's and then King's was closed and
ooh.
We went to Sesame Inn.
Like closed permanently?
I guess. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Sesame Inn's good.
It's not bad. I got the cashew chicken. I normally go General Tso's, and the last time we went to Sesame Inn, it wasn't great. But the cashew chicken was very good.
I see. Yeah, King's. I think I've been there like only maybe a couple of times. I remember it just
died?
Made me very sick.
Oh, no one died.
No. Well, we murdered the other soccer team.
Oh, it was a
it was after a soccer game, metaphorically, of course.
Did they have like a giant ice cream? Like you could, it was like a big sundae, but it served like 30 people.
I don't remember. That does spark a memory where every time I used to go to DQ, Dairy Queen, I used to get the brownie earthquake.
Okay.
Do you remember that?
No, I always got the banana blizzard.
Yeah.
Banana cream pie blizzard.
The brownie earthquake was like, it had brownies, ice cream, hot fudge, it had everything.
Sounds really good.
Yeah. It was like 3,000 calories. Now you
feels
crush
actually low.
That.
Yeah,
dude,
a pint of Ben and Jerry's is like 1,400 calories. Like if you get a half baked pint of ice cream, I think it's actually like 13. It's like 1200 or something. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
Because you look at the back of the box, it's like, oh, or the carton or whatever it is. It's like, oh, it's 340 calories. I'm like, oh, that's great.
Per serving.
Per serving. And there's three and a half servings in
there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
Yeah.
I was looking at mashed potatoes today and it was like 150 calories.
Per serving.
Per serving. Yeah. 15 servings in the box. Yeah. I'm like, geez.
That's a mindset that I really need to get away from, because whenever I look at packaging now, I just look at like how much, like, can I eat this whole thing? And
it's a bad place to be.
Yeah.
It's bad for business.
I'm on the, you know how like I do like a self-destructive thing whenever I'm like trying to diet and stuff.
So yeah.
This is like day one of my self-destructive part of it.
Yeah.
I've had like a protein shake.
Are you currently dieting?
Today.
Yeah. So you've just eaten nothing today?
Nothing is worse. And I was going to wait to say this, but like nothing is worse than seeing yourself on a doorbell cam. And I'm just like, oh my God, I hate myself.
Oh.
Like I hate, like Chelsea lost like 40 pounds from the pregnancy.
Yeah.
And I just ate it. I gained it, all of it. So it's like for every pound that she lost, I gained a pound.
Really?
So I'm like, okay, enough's enough. So I was like, we're done. And whenever I was off work, because obviously this is the end of my paternity leave, which is also depressing. So this is, it's just compounding. But yeah, I went outside because I'll get there. We got blinds. So I went outside to see how the blinds look from outside.
Yeah.
Saw myself on the doorbell camera.
Right.
And I'm like, changes need to be made. So I got a whole bunch of, I got like V8, which actually is a lot of sodium in it. So that's bad for you.
Sodium.
Everything's bad for you.
But sodium's good for slimming down.
I got sodium. I got V8. So I got the vegetables there.
Yeah.
I got salads.
Yeah.
So I'm basically making like grilled chicken salad wraps
and
stuff.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm being real strict on a lot of that stuff. But yeah, I was like, man, something. It wasn't.
I'm sorry to hear that, dude. I think you're beautiful.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
But do.
That goes to my, I put on our list of things to talk through. Is I deleted all, like Uber Eats, DoorDash, Grubhub. It's all gone.
That's more of a money save than anything, bro.
It's a big money save, but we got nothing good from that. Like there was nothing where it's like you ate it and it was like quote unquote healthy or anything like that.
Well, I don't think there is any. Like what can you get?
Really not.
That's like, because even when I go to Panera and get my Caesar salad, Caesar chicken.
Yeah.
It's like not, it's not healthy for you either. Like that's you talk about sodium, dude. Holy God. That is a lot of sodium. And it's actually quite a bit of calories too, because Caesar dressing is very bad.
Caesar dressing is,
Yeah, but it's so tasty.
And you got, well, especially with the croutons and the cheese. Like that's literally the salad. You have like lettuce, cheese, croutons.
And it's not that much protein. It's like I'd rather just shove a bunch of protein in my mouth.
You eat a block of cheese or a cup of peanut butter or whatever. The thing that kills me is like you click on like healthy from Uber Eats and it's like KFC. And it's like,
in what planet?
Yeah, like let's put fried chicken is like the number one.
You could
hit.
Get grilled, I think, right?
Sure. Sure.
I don't know.
Like I'm gonna pick the grilled chicken on the KFC thing. Whenever I'm gonna get a mashed potato bowl like a human being.
Yeah. Well, no. But
that's my favorite thing on KFC.
Yeah. I mean, it's good, but I just get a bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
Like, actually, the only time I go to KFC is when it's a KFC / Taco Bell.
And I
get like a Southern and then even more Southern fusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like South fried chicken, more South Mexican.
I see what you're saying.
You see where I'm going there?
Do you eat it in order? Like, do you progressively get more Southern?
I just shove a crunch wrap in a mashed potato bowl.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know what I do. I think I eat one, then the other, probably.
I always go most messy to least messy.
Mm. That's an interesting strategy.
Yeah. I'm
trying to dissect that. Yeah, because, like, you get really messy, and then you kind of start cleaning yourself off on the other food.
Well, if I'm going to a Taco Bell, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I want to, I get like one of everything on the menu because it's so long till I go like between Taco Bell visits.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, well, I
miss everything.
Let's try everything and see what they have.
Yeah.
So I'll typically do the messy stuff because I'll go through the drive-thru, I'll park, because you can't go into the Taco Bell, because then they see like the human being that is ordering just this vast quantity of food, and then like you can't really pretend that you're like getting it for other people. Like I fall into that trap all the time where I'm like, I'm eating so much food. I'm like, oh, do you want sauce for that? And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know if they want any. So no, I'm good on sauce.
People do
even
that.
Even though I'm going to eat all of it myself.
I never understood that.
Dude, it's so bad. Like I had such a, well, I still do have a problem.
Actually, like I think it's like a badge of honor when they're like I always love when I go to Applebee's and I get a 2 for $20.
Yeah, but there's a difference myself. When you look like you. Like if you're like slim or you're jacked or whatever, then yeah, eat a 20-pound, you know, taco and a stack of pancakes and, you know, whatever.
How'd you know I love taco pancakes?
I didn't really taco. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking of whatever the show is. Whenever like The Rock is eating just like 12 stacks of pancakes, yeah, or whatever. Or you're Michael Phelps and you're eating 50,000 calories.
Well, dude, he's like such a. I mean, I think The Rock's a cool guy, but like he's so BS.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, first of all, he's on roids, like that's sure. Obvious. And then secondly, his cheat meals, and I'm doing air quotes,
aren't.
They're not, like, he's doing like Kojak pancakes or whatever, mm-hmm, or like wheat pancakes and blah blah blah, yeah, like healthy stuff. And yeah, it looks like a lot, and yeah, it's not like obviously a lot of calories, but like,
but it's not all sugar.
It's, and it's not like lot, yeah, he's eating everything on Taco Bell. You know what, yeah, I mean, dude? Like, there's a huge difference.
But
anyway,
but what I'm saying, no, I mean, that's keeping me in line, is you go to Taco Bell, you get, yeah, everything, yeah, and then I sit in the parking lot for as long as I feel comfortable, where I'm like, okay, I'm like downing all like the messy tacos, right, and soft tacos there, because I get the Supreme, so right, sour cream's everywhere all over my face.
Mm.
And you eat all the messy stuff, and then people in the parking lot that are also doing the same thing you're doing, and they're looking at you, they're like, oh, okay, like, he's done eating. But you save the clean stuff.
Dude, I'm just
so
thinking,
I can keep eating the whole way home.
Wow.
That's a problem.
I'm just picturing two dudes just going to housing Taco Bell and then locking eyes.
Yeah.
They, yeah, have a fucking chalupa in their mouth.
Dude.
That's messed up.
I'll do the chalupa.
I know, but yeah, it was a funny sounding word.
Yeah.
My comedy brain always going.
Dude, I pull out the quesadilla.
Yeah.
So I got a steak. The steak quesadilla is actually better than the chicken, I think. That might be a controversial opinion, but that's what I think.
Mm.
But I prep it. So like I pull them out.
Yep.
I have kind of like a makeshift placemat on my seat. But I have to pull them out and make sure they're not too messy,
yeah,
and angle them a certain way. So as I'm driving, I don't have to look down. I can just reach down and take it and know that it's
you
like
inspire
clean,
me.
It's a clean eat.
You are the greatest Taco Bell
it's
eater.
It's a problem.
Of
no,
all time.
It's the worst.
Taco Bell is actually my weakest game in terms of fast food, because yeah, I am a very, very much, as I've stated many times on this podcast, I'm a rut person, RUT. And like I always have a go-to every place, but there are a few exceptions. Taco Bell is one of them. And funny enough, KFC, like I never know, like I don't have a go-to at either of those. So
mashed potato bowl.
I don't, it's not my go-to.
I can't eat more than one. If I eat two mashed potato bowls,
you like throw
I
up?
Will throw up.
I think that's kind of like drinking a whole gallon of milk. It's probably impossible.
Yeah, but it's not a lot of food.
Like, it is, though. It probably is.
It's not more food than eating like...
Yeah, but it's the type of food.
Yeah, it's true.
You know?
There's no room. Like, yeah, it's so dense.
It's just
like, no,
potatoes,
it's just,
dude. It's a whole potato
yeah,
patch.
Yeah, it's so good.
Stuffed into like one nucleus.
You can tell that I'm on a diet because I'm just talking about food nonstop right now.
I mean, fast food's just so good, but it, like my yeah, heart hates me for it.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. Yeah. I get worried that if I go to the doctor, they're going to be like, dude.
What? Nah, you'll be fine. Because I thought I had some problems. So I did go to the doctor. And they're like, dude, you're totally cool.
Yeah.
Well, it's again, like you're getting your own
my
head.
My shape and your shape are very different.
It doesn't matter, dude. People that look like me, and I'm not even like in amazing shape or anything. But like there was this person that freaked me out. I was watching like Barstool. And one of the guys on there was like, yeah, so I just found out I'm pre-diabetic, and he looks exactly like me. I was like, fuck.
Yeah,
that scared
scary.
The shit out of me.
It's scary.
Because, like,
tell you what, though,
doesn't matter.
I see you leave, right? I see you leave the house. Yeah. Check the doorbell cam as I do.
Yeah.
You're cool as hell, man. You got that. You're all slim and you're, you know, like you're, you know, all muscly and whatnot. And you put your aviator shades on or whatever the heck they are.
Nah, you look super cool. Something. Like, you're looking at my figure.
Yeah.
But when I look at the cam, I notice only the bad stuff. That's just people.
I don't know.
I look at the cam and I'm like, fuck, dude, what a disgusting.
There was a point
human.
In my life where you wouldn't have caught me dead outside in what I was wearing yesterday. And I looked so frumpy and gross and everything. I'm just like, man, I can't do that. Like, that's literally why I'm wearing all of this right now.
You look nice.
Okay, well, thanks. But, like,
although I think if I pulled up the color wheel, I don't think those match.
This absolutely matches.
I don't think so.
This is the Flash colors.
No.
This is the Smallville.
No.
I'm wearing a red, sorry, for people who can't see me, I have a yellow t-shirt underneath,
yeah.
And then I have the red, kind of checked shirt on top of it. It's the primary colors, man.
I don't think it happens.
It's the Flash. The Flash is red and yellow.
The Flash sucks.
If you look at
But it's not
people,
dark enough. It's not dark enough red.
It's too dark.
I think it might
red.
Be the white,
it's
actually. It might be the
needs to be lighter.
Well, I think Flash has white in it, too.
The beauty, it does. The beauty with Smallville is every character, you can tell who they are. So, like, Clark Kent, if he's with the rest of the Justice League as youngsters, he's always wearing a blue shirt.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
With the red jacket on top, which is basically his cape.
Right.
And then you have Aquaman, who's wearing an orange shirt, and you have, like, the Flash wearing this red and everything. Yeah. That's just how it is.
I don't know about it.
I'll be honest with you. I had two options. I had this yellow shirt, and I had a maroon shirt. And you do not want to put a maroon shirt on top of this guy.
What about my blue on blue?
Blue on blue is fine.
Really?
Yeah. It's better than blue on black.
I like orange and blue.
Yeah, complimentary colors? Yeah, sure.
I'm a big complimentary color guy.
You're a big
guy.
Battlefield fan.
Battlefield?
Yeah. Oh, dude, every Battlefield. If you look at any like Battlefield 4,
yeah.
Half his face is blue, half his face is orange with an explosion in the background.
Well, they overuse that orange.
Absolutely, but it's complimentary.
That's
their look.
Yeah, but that's not the same.
But here's the thing.
That's
you,
not the same.
You look at that and you know it's Battlefield.
I guess.
They overuse it,
but that's
but
a bad thing
now. Well, not really.
Yes, it is, because Battlefield's not good anymore.
Well, it's... Yeah.
When was the last good Battlefield?
4. I think.
I'd say 1.
People liked 1.
You didn't like 1?
It was okay.
I thought it was good.
I'm not a big... I want more modern stuff.
Oh, I really liked World War One. I thought they did a good job with it. Although I think they should have committed more to the World War One aesthetic, because what ended up happening is, like, there were, like, machine guns and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Which, towards the end of the war, I guess there kind of was, but... There wasn't, like, submachine guns or anything.
You can't have just, like, single-shot everything, yeah.
I know you can't, but it would have been cool.
Sure, but they make games like that. Like, it's not Battlefield.
I don't know, because it's, like, semi-automatic. It's, like, it wouldn't... I think it would have been feasible. I think it would have been feasible.
Let me rephrase.
All right.
You can't do that when you're going up against Call of Duty. Like, if you're trying
Why
to go...
Why not?
If trying to go toe-to-toe with Call of Duty, you need to be Call of Duty, but big scale.
No. I disagree. I think Battlefield was at its best when it wasn't being Call of Duty.
I don't know.
Battlefield 4 was not anything like Call of Duty.
I disagree with that wholeheartedly.
No.
Wholeheartedly.
No way.
Wholeheartedly.
How?
It's just bigger. It's bigger with vehicles. It's Call of Duty, but bigger with vehicles.
I don't think so. No.
It was the adult first-person shooter where it's like, oh, you want to be less arcadey? You want to be a little bit more,
it's
like,
much
think about your
slower.
Shots?
It's not as twitchy.
Yeah.
It's more deliberate.
Sure.
I don't think it's anything like Call of Duty.
It's like Call of Duty in the fact of, like, it's
there's
same.
Way less, like, sprinting and just twitch game. Like, Call of Duty is all about the close quarter combat, twitchy, turn the corner on people.
Yeah.
Sprinting the whole time. Like, you're sprinting the whole time during a Call of Duty match. You're just running around the map, finding people, shooting at them.
Yeah, but that's why, like, the
Battlefield's
number-
all about, like, getting across the world
you
and then
would-
getting a location, camping it out, you know what I mean? Like,
you
security,
would think,
I don't know.
But the when they released the different maps that everyone liked and different things like that, the smaller skirmishes won out on Battlefield, and people were playing that as a substitute for Call of Duty. So, like, I don't blame EA for going. I don't even know how we got on this topic. Oh, we got for complimentary colors. Yeah, Taco Bell. I don't. They just lost their way because they listened to, like, oh, people really liked fighting on this one tunnel over and over and over
well,
and
that
over
was Battlefield
again.
3
Metro. Whatever, whichever one it was. But like that was the thing that kind of like I think started skewing it a little bit.
I guess poorly. I don't know. I just think I don't know.
They'll come back. They'll have a heyday again, or another third person party, like a third, you know, someone else would come in that's essentially Battlefield, like a spiritual successor to Battlefield.
Yeah.
And then do that. But it's EA, so they're going to run everything into the ground. Who knows?
It will.
Talk to me about SimCity. How's that doing?
SimCity?
Yeah. Remember SimCity?
No.
It's 20... Oh, man, I don't even know. Like, it was... I want to say 2016, but I think it's even beyond that. Maybe 2013. But SimCity came out, and they just called it SimCity. So it was one of those, like... Not reboots, but kind of a reboot where it's like, okay, we're not going to say SimCity 4 or whatever.
Like
it's
Mortal Kombat 1?
Not even 1. It was just like straight up. It was like Need for Speed. Like Need for Speed comes out and they call it Need for Speed.
Right.
That's a statement. You can't do that and then fumble it. Dude, it was always online.
But they did
servers
it and fumbled
were bad.
It.
Oh, they killed it. They destroyed it in one game. They completely destroyed any credibility they had for that series.
Was it EA?
Yeah.
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 Terrible. It was, and then luckily other games sprung up, and now it's like, what's the, it's not Sims, forget what it's called, but it's like the roller coaster thing.
Roller Coaster Tycoon?
It's the offshoot of it that garnered a lot of respect and people loved it and whatnot.
I played
it's
the Sims roller coaster game when I was, or theme park game.
Yeah. I don't know.
I really liked that game. It was on PlayStation 1.
Yeah, PlayStation 1's a great console.
And it was just like, you just built your own theme park. And then when you got enough golden tickets, you got a camcorder. And then you could walk through your own theme park and you could ride the rides.
That's cool. Yeah.
The thing that always stuck out to me in that game is like, if you didn't have enough bathrooms, people would just start shitting all over the place.
That seems excessive.
It was very excessive, but it did teach me a valuable lesson about like construction.
Yeah.
Restrooms are first.
You need to make sure people have like the basic needs before any type of...
Yeah, it was a very valuable lesson for like any kind of construction management or anything where it's like, okay, human needs, biological needs outweigh
you need a bathroom
literally
every quadrant.
You need a bathroom,
you
need a changing station, you need trash. Like they would throw trash everywhere. Yep. They would throw it. Like there was a lot of throwing up, which... When I thought about it, yeah, there's probably a lot of throwing up at theme parks because you're eating funnel cakes out the wazoo and
doing loop-de-loops.
Little pretzels.
Yeah.
And so you'd have no trash cans. They'd throw trash everywhere, like throw up on the ground.
Yeah.
Anyways, so that was a good lesson for me. And then it was like, it was really interesting. It was a cool game because it was like, you had to really think about like, okay, well, I'm going to place my most popular rides in specific areas and I need enough space for them because I only have so much land I can build on.
Right.
And I need to strategically place my shops in areas near the most high traffic places so that they can get, you know, the most people running through. And then you look at, there was like balance sheets and stuff. It was like,
yeah,
I was like,
it's legit.
I was like six.
Well, who made that? So that wasn't Roller
Coaster
Tycoon?
That was EA, I think.
Okay.
It was, what was it called? I thought it was Sims like roller coaster or not Sims roller, like Sims theme park or something.
Sure.
And every park had a theme. Like the first park was like the Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
Not the movie, but like it was about dinosaurs and stuff. And then the second one was Spaceland or something.
There's a game that does the dino one pretty well. It's not like Jurassic Park, I think, made a game like that, but you basically just breed dinosaurs and
Stuff. Yeah, I remember you showed me that.
Yeah,
or I saw that.
I streamed it once.
You did.
Yeah,
that was awesome. I'm waiting for the next one.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a fun game. I missed the PlayStation 1. That was a great era.
So, before we go too far into Battlefield, I know I already talked about my canceling of apps. Do you want to talk about your McDonald's ad and just get all this fast food out of the way?
Yeah, I missed the boat there, but I appreciate you going back to it and sacrificing the timestamps for it.
That's
but
right.
The McDonald's apps, the McDonald's app is still the best app in the game. And I was thinking about this yesterday when I was really contemplating the fast food space like I do on a daily basis. It's my nightly like affirmations.
Okay.
Anyways, so... What has McDonald's traditionally been known for?
Big Mac.
Sure. But it's been known for cheap food.
Oh,
it's like the cheapest meal you can get, right? Especially like back in the day. I mean, you specifically were telling me like, oh man, like 70 cents for a blah, blah, blah or whatever.
42 for an ice cream cone.
For ice cream cone, yeah. Exactly. So like that sticks with you. It's like, dude, you could. So these days, I think people would argue like, oh, McDonald's got so expensive, this and that. But it's kind of genius what they did. So they inflated the price on everything, right? But what they're doing is they're hiding. You can still get incredibly cheap meals from McDonald's, but they're hiding it, not even hiding it. They're putting it all behind the app.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think they know that people are like the people that are addicted to McDonald's are still going to go to McDonald's, even if it's expensive. But the people that really want the deals are going to go that extra effort to find it in the app. So they're really not, I mean, they're probably losing some clientele with that, but I think they're kind of getting the best of both worlds, if that makes sense.
Do they have any ads in the app? I assume not.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a giant McDonald's app.
Yeah, no, I know. I was just wondering what the benefit of forcing everyone to go to the app is, but I guess technically
that's what I was curious about too, because they're really pushing it and they can't be losing money on it because they wouldn't be pushing it if they were.
Right.
Unless it's one of those situations where they push it and then they funnel everyone into it and then they pull the rug under you and like the deals become way worse. But there are like some pretty decent deals on there where like for example, every Friday you get a free medium fry with any purchase. So you could literally get a McChicken and a medium fry for $1.07
or $2.13 whatever
it is now. It's probably like $2 now.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You can't go anywhere. Like, that's a lunch for someone.
Yeah.
You know? You can't go anywhere and get it in a meal for $2. So it's like,
I mean, it's no two hot dogs for $1, like Sheetz, but it's close.
Do they still have that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, still. Like, that's
pretty good.
Like, you never worked at McDonald's, right, I assume, right?
Oh,
like,
no.
Yeah. Like, working McDonald's, for me, kind of like, I have to really, I want McDonald's maybe like 2-3 times a year.
New Year's. Yep.
And then, like New Year's, 4th of July, like around then, stuff like that. Like there'll be random times. So I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Chelsea loves McDonald's. Like she worked there and she's like, I could eat that every day. It's still good.
Very good. I like McDonald's too. Like objectively, the quality is not even good, but for some reason it just tastes so good.
Yeah.
There's just something patriotic about going to McDonald's. You know what I mean?
It's crazy how there will be times when I'm like, for instance, Wendy's does a better burger, like a Wendy's,
way better.
Like, but knowing that there are times when like even five, like put Five Guys on the table.
Yeah.
I would still be like, nope, I want a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Right.
Like a very specific.
It's just very iconic.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else like it. I just love the Big Mac. And it's like I said, objectively, the quality of the Big Mac is way worse than Five Guys.
Yep.
Way worse than Wendy's. It's just good though. It just slaps.
It's good. Yeah.
Anyways, so I think the app is still just so good. Like every time the Pens win, you get like free, either a free Big Mac or like a free 6-piece Nuggets the next day.
So what is that like? Geo targeted. So it's like if you're in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Probably. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because you got to have your area. Like it tracks your area. Or
that's cool. So they probably have that all.
Yeah, but that's awesome. Like if you're just on top of it, and it's not even a lot of work, but you're just checking your deals every day. Like, and then whenever I get like a meal, you get a ton of points, and then you can just get a free whatever, get a free fry, get a free McChicken, whatever,
McCrispy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, there was a deal the other day, free McCrispy.
I know.
Purchase
I saw
of like anything.
We're too cheap to pay for Hulu, so we get the ad version.
So
McDonald's has been popping up on there. Yeah,
I don't know. It's just like if you just deal hunt on McDonald's, you can still get really good, and it's way better than any other app. It just rewards you so much for going and checking the deals every day or whatever.
Yeah,
and you can just eat for like under $5.
It's
all the time.
Probably good that there's not a McDonald's like close to us anyway. Like I feel like I would rekindle that. Like if I lived in Bellevue where it's like the Ohio Boulevard, like You can, every fast food chain is literally on there.
Yeah, but it's all about finding a good McDonald's because the fluctuation of quality is insane. It might be one of the biggest.
I'll take it a step further. It's not even a good or bad McDonald's. It's the time of day and the staff that you have working.
I don't know. I've found that some McDonald's are horrible, no matter what.
You can blanket it for sure, but the one that I used to work at, there was a clear quality drop where it's like after maybe like 5 p.m.
Yeah, and like night shift. Sure, and
people just don't care.
Because you probably get like the more senior people.
Yeah, all the senior morning people are on there.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that makes sense. So,
because they have to be. Like you aren't going to put, like you're going to put your A staff on like whenever you're transitioning from like breakfast to lunch. And people are coming in, and all the rush hour times, you're putting your A staff on there.
Right.
Because the alternative is like, okay, 2 a.m. happens and you have like crappy service. It's 2 a.m. People that are coming to McDonald's at 2 a.m. are only coming to McDonald's because the bar is closed. Like, that's it. Like, no
one. Dude, they're not even open that late anymore.
Fair enough. But I'm saying whenever I worked there.
Right.
So it
that was the good old day. Dude, I'm telling you, nothing is open late anymore.
I know.
After the pandemic, nothing is open late, and I think Sheetz just has a monopoly.
Is Eaton Park open?
No.
No?
Wow. Eaton Park's not 24 hours anymore. Nothing. I am telling you, if you are going around at 2 a.m., Sheetz is your only option. And they are just, they have to be just raking. They own the market.
Yeah.
At least where we are.
Just gas stations in general. Yeah.
They own the market of late night food.
Yeah.
There's just nothing. And dude, I have been like coming home from the casino. You have like a 15-minute wait. It is packed in Sheetz because that is all that's happening, man.
Yeah.
Like, what a smart business move by
them.
Get
the Sheetz app. You can have all your food pre-done.
I'm very bad at it. It takes me a while. I think Jeff will appreciate this too because he is very resistant to getting the McDonald's app.
Yeah.
Even though I try to convince him of it. But his argument is not great about it though because he thinks it's going to lose people jobs. But I still don't understand that
you're losing, like, just even if you go inside, they still want you to use like it's like
that's what I'm saying.
Here's a giant phone screen.
What happens is I go inside because he's like, I want to be able to talk to someone. It's like you literally can. You go inside, you say, hey, Mr. McDonald.
Yeah.
I would like a cheeseburger.
Oh, you're going to the McDonald.
Oh, the original,
yeah, sure, okay.
I actually don't know where the original is located.
I don't. Who cares?
Somewhere in the United States, but you scan your phone. You just have the app up. You scan it, and then you get the points or whatever, or you use your deal that you have on there, and then like I think he's referring to like mobile ordering and stuff, which I can understand that, but
yeah, I'm torn because it's like how many? I'm gonna look this up while we're talking. How many calories is a cheeseburger?
Just a regular cheese. I don't know
how many calories
a Big Mac.
I'm expecting at least 480. How many calories is a McDonald's cheeseburger? Let Google.
My problem is the calorie to protein ratio is really trash, and that's the general issue with hamburgers in the first place.
It's 313.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Well, 300 calories, 15 grams of protein.
Exactly. You're just getting no protein. Yeah.
You could drink two protein shakes for that. And
you could drink one. The protein I drink is 230, 60 grams of protein or something.
Yeah, the one I have up there is 160, and it's half that. So it'd be 30 grams of protein for 160 calories.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Or no. Excuse me. It's 230 for 42. Yep. So, yeah, right. You're just crushing it. Yep. I forget what I was saying, but yeah. Exactly. That's what I have trouble with. Like when I get a Sheetz, I think I told you about this. I get like just this massive meat hamburger where it's like double meat, steak,
sure,
bacon. I just put every meat.
It's quantity, man. Protein. Like if I'm gonna eat trash, I want the most trash I can get for the fewest calories type of thing.
Yeah. So that one comes to like 900 calories and like 75 grams of protein or something.
But if it's super filling, then it's
that's
worth
what I'm
it,
saying. Yeah. I'm trying to. That's why I'm trying to, you know, get that protein in.
Yeah.
Well, protein's just good for you, but that's just, you know, that's why a chicken breast fills you up. Because the protein to calorie ratio is nutty. Like that's probably the best
I have those. So I'm doing like lettuce, essentially like not lettuce wrap. It's not a lettuce wrap because I put it in a tortilla. I put lettuce in a tortilla.
So it's
but I take salad
just
mix.
Wrap.
It's a wrap. Yeah. But the wrap is like these carb smart wraps. So they're like 70 calories for a wrap, and these are like big wraps.
Right.
So I can have. I can just crush those. They're just. The problem is like for the low calories. If it's like, oh hey, this is filling, and I can eat a ton of them, and I'm satiated, and it's good.
Right.
Then you just start watching like the cost fly up, and it's just like, ah, these are also very
expensive.
I actually
don't mind like lettuce wraps, like using the lettuce as a wrap.
Get a like a either a super low cal or like fat free, like just put like hot sauce on it, and it's great.
Oh yeah, like a fajita, but just instead of a tortilla, use a lettuce.
Yep.
No, I would be down for that. And oh my gosh, you save so much, like dude. Grains kill you.
I spent almost $1,000 over 2 months with Uber Eats. And that's what I was like, okay, I'm deleting these. We're not doing this.
Yeah. Because not only are you paying so much money, you're paying it to be unhealthy.
Yep.
Which just makes no sense. I would never use delivery apps. It's never made sense to me.
They're so easy, especially if you have like a kid and you're just like, well, yeah. So for instance, like our furnace and AC are busted and we have to get new ones. Yeah. So like you're sitting there, it's dinner time and you're like, I really don't want to fire up the oven when it's 80 degrees in this house.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So it's just so easy to be like, no, they bring my food to me.
Yep.
But then you're paying like $15 just to have it delivered. And that's with like the membership of the app or whatever. And it's crazy, man.
Yeah.
But
dude, speaking of memberships, I just recently signed up for Robinhood Gold.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the thing. Robinhood Gold is essentially free because they give you, well, the deal I signed up because they're giving you a deal where it's like 5.25% APY. And so if you just park your money in there, like enough money to get back whatever the monthly cost is,
because
you're gaining interest on it, it's like free. It's just paying for itself, right? So,
but like, what's the benefit? What do you get out of it?
So you get higher APY on the money that you have in there, the like uninvested cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a lot of access to like reporting data and stuff and like write-ups about different stocks. So like that's like fine. But you also get a match if you open up a Roth, or not a Roth, but just an IRA in general. They'll match like up to 3% if you have the gold. Instead of like 1% if you don't.
Interesting.
So I've been doing that. Maybe I'm getting scammed. I don't know if 3%'s like bad. It seemed decent enough.
3 is better than 1.
Yeah, but I should have checked with like other things, but Robinhood's so easy and I like the app that I was just like, I'll just do it here, and I already had an account. So I did that. And then I think you get higher limits on like what you can deposit in your account and stuff like that. And I think they're going to add like they're going to start matching deposits a little bit. There's going to be a small percentage that they'll match. So that would be really nice too, like when you put money in. But yeah, there's probably better places than Robinhood to do it. But I just thought, I was like, I don't know. I like the idea of that. I just really like the interface.
Robinhood's very good.
So if you're anything like when I pull up my Roth IRA portfolio, has like a nice wheel that tells me how much I've contributed and what the max is, and it's just like really spiffy.
Yeah.
And
do you use the stuff? Do you use like the widgets and stuff on your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I use. I think Robinhood's very good with that.
Exactly, right.
E-Trade like breaks a lot of the time.
Yeah.
The widget.
I was looking at Chase because that's where I bank through. So I was like, okay, and just keep it all in that. But it's just like not as visually appealing. And like the design, like Robinhood's app is just so nice. There's no space when you, like, you ruin that for me. Like when you're scrolling and there's like a space, like the McDonald's app.
No.
I'm like, fuck.
It got to be butter, man. It's got to be smooth.
It's butter on there.
Yeah. It's good.
And I think that's why I'm getting scammed, because it's like they probably know that like
that's where all the money's going.
All the money's going to the app design. Also, there's like what happens when Robinhood goes under, because they're like,
dude, whenever all the GameStop stuff was taken off and Doge and all that stuff, and Robinhood shut it down and just said like, no, you're not allowed to buy or sell.
Right.
That was a big, like, that's when I stopped everything.
Yeah, I shouldn't do it.
Yeah,
I shouldn't do it, but
I still have money in there.
I'm a little sheep.
Just waiting for Doge to rebound again. I think it's hop super low hop right now.
There was a little spike in Doge recently.
Yeah.
And you just held?
Of course.
What are you waiting for?
Minimum a dollar.
If it hits a dollar, the entire economy collapses.
Nah.
Absolutely.
It was pretty close already.
No, it was not.
75 cents at one point.
Yeah, back when it was like insane.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It'll
and
come back.
Everything got fucked up.
It'll come back.
No, it won't. Yeah, I think it's done. Fine. I think we've saw the last. Although I said my Bitcoin's doing well.
I was going to say, dude, it's tied to all that stuff. Once Bitcoin goes super high and everything, you start seeing all of these meme coins go back up because that's how people do it.
I think crypto is like completely correlated.
Yeah.
I will say I did CVS got crushed this week. We lost 17% of our stock in one day or something.
Yeah.
And I just went in.
Oh, you bought?
I bought some.
Bought some stock.
Bought some stock in CVS. Right.
Sure.
And it might be a bad move, but from every report I was reading.
Public reports, just to be clear. This is not insider trading.
No, it was public. Well, this is part of the Robinhood Gold stuff where it's like they have a write-up on it and they... It was actually really nice. Like, let me show you. I know the audience isn't going to be able to see, but I'll describe the category. So, like, look at the app. It's butter.
Yeah. No, anyway, that's great.
So, for the gold portion of it, if I scroll down, they have... and now, granted, it's not on every stock. It's, like, mostly on, like, the more popular ones, obviously, right?
Ones that are worth...
But this is the gold portion here, right? So, they give it and it's Morningstar, which is, I guess, like, an investment company.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, they have a research report, and then they'll give it like an overall rating, but they divide it into several different categories.
Do they tell you to buy or hold or say, you know, like that?
Yeah,
sort of
they have like that where it's like, 59% say buy and 41% say hold and nobody's saying sell, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And again, like, look, what are these people? And like, you know, there's a million other people that like me that are just reading this and be like, oh, I just got to buy. Like, I'm an idiot. So... This is not financial advice, obviously. I just like how it's laid out. So they split into different categories. They have their overall thesis, right? And there's just a whole write-up about what's going on. And they update it pretty frequently. They have the fair value, what they think the stock should be. So, like, for example, right now, they think it should be $93 a share. And it's, like, $54. That's a huge difference. Sure. And if it goes up to $93, I'm going to make a lot of money. They have the economic moat, they have the risk, and they have the stewardship, right? And then like articles just involved with it.
Just to kind of like support their...
And then they have little nice pictures for each of the things, which is what gets me because I have the brain of a toddler.
For icons, yeah.
It is, dude. I know it too. Like I'm getting scammed.
But
this is what the whiteboard room in Robinhood, they're like, okay, these guys are monkeys.
Yeah.
I'm going to draw a little horsey. And say risk next to it, and they're going to like that, and then they're going to pay us money and read the report.
There's got to be some sort of thing where it's like none of those people that are like writing that stuff can own stock, right? Like you would
think. They're an investment group, but probably
they
probably
own. That's the thing. So they can say, "Oh, you should sell this or buy this or whatever," and like they're furthering their own interests.
Well, I'm not putting life changing money into it.
Yeah.
I'm investing responsibly, quote unquote. But I don't know. It's it has to be better than just maybe it's not. Maybe just blindly picking stocks is better, but
maybe.
Now, I will say this. Someone, I was watching some like finance videos. And first of all, finance videos are just like it is the same as nutrition.
Okay.
There's no difference. You will hear experts, so-called experts, say completely opposing viewpoints. It's like nothing is like set in stone.
Yes.
You'll just hear everything across the sun. Eggs are bad for you. Eggs are good for you. Eat more of this. Eat less of this.
Yeah.
Invest in mutual funds. Mutual funds are for suckers. Blah, blah, blah. It's like crazy that there's nothing agreed upon. My understanding is like the stock market traditionally has gone up.
Okay.
So if I have a well-diversified portfolio in a lot of areas spanning, like covering the entire stock market, like, you know, you have S&P 500 coverage, you have overall market, you have overseas coverage, you have bonds, a little bit of bonds for safety, stuff like that, real estate. you're gonna make money. Like, that's my, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Anyways, so like, this guy was saying, where was I going with that? Oh yeah, this guy was saying like, index funds are stupid or something. And I'm like, I don't know, bro.
I think even on paper, and I don't know, everything you're saying here, I'm just like nodding like an idiot because I don't understand any of it. But I...
You don't understand any of it?
Not really, no.
Like what part?
Like any of it. Like I don't... Like my... I understand I have money in a mattress. It's...
I have money in a mattress. I run into this. That's why I started doing this, because I'm like looking at my bank account and it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
And what people need to understand is, like, again, this isn't financial advice. I'm an idiot. But if your money is sitting in the bank, you're literally losing money because inflation... Sure. Is going up, right? So I guess from my understanding is you're trying to grow your money, but you're also, you have to take into consideration like inflation as well, right? So that's why you can't just park your money in like a high yield savings account, because you're probably still losing to it.
I mean, I have a 401k. That's as much as I am going.
401ks are fine. Like, everyone's saying, like, oh, if you have a 401k, not everyone, but, like, people have said, like, oh, if you have a 401k, you're an idiot. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. It's all these fucking millionaire people, douchebags, that are like, you got to do this to make money, and I have a Lamborghini, and you don't, because you're a dummy, and I trade all day, and blah, blah, blah.
The traditional stuff, so like everything you said traditionally, mm-hmm. is like, oh, this is how you should make money or whatever, like just real safe, secure, like this is tried and true, this is what you should do.
Yeah.
I believe that, like, everyone that's saying like, oh, well, that's stupid, don't do that, on paper they could be right. They could be like, oh, if you do the math, it's this is better, or this,
yeah,
should be it.
But, right,
but the thing is, the people that control the money will make it work for them. So it's like you just do what the people in charge are doing, and it should be fine. So it's like, you know, like the people that have a lot of money that made their money by doing index blah 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 blah,
yeah
are going to make sure that those are still profitable. There's no way that they're gonna be like, oh yeah, no, that's right.
Well, index funds are good because
crypto,
they're
instead,
right? Well, crypto is like,
if crypto was an actual thing, like if that's something that was going to take off and do different things, I'm not saying it doesn't, because yeah. I mean, I own a lot of Doge and a lot of shit, but
yeah.
And I hope it does take off.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah, yeah.
There's a point when it's like, if it ever came to a, you know, you talk about the whiteboard and the line, if it ever, yeah, crossed a certain line,
yeah,
I fully believe that the government would step in or different things. They would regulate, they would do whatever it took to get it under control. It is not the currency of the people that could that supersedes everything. It's like, nope.
Right.
If that was a thing, it would be either shut down or bent to make it work for us.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah,
the capital US, right? Like that,
sure.
That's how that would be.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know. It's the same. Maybe it's a very cynical view of everything, but it's just like nothing changes, and it's just like,
well,
that's it.
I don't know. I mean, like I said, index funds are good, or mutual funds or whatever you do. ETFs, because it's just like a broad scope of a larger, like when you buy an individual stock, it's so much volatility, because if something happens that's wild, like for example, if I had all my money in CVS, I would have lost a ton of money this week, because CVS underperformed and the stock went way down. Whereas mm-hmm. like if I had the whole healthcare sector, CVS might have went down, but I'm covered by everyone else, so it's actually not that bad of a hit. You know what I'm saying? It's just,
yeah,
safer. But I don't know. Like the one guy was saying, like, oh, if you buy individual stocks, you're just gambling. Just go to Vegas. It's more fun. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly, because the casino
is actively taking your money. At least the companies,
yes,
that are getting crapped on and different,
yes,
things like that are fumbling the ball. They will correct themselves.
Right.
People will get fired. People, like, every, like, you have an entire company actively trying to make you money at that point.
Exactly. I've disagreed with that very, because, like, there is a mathematical certainty that you will lose money over time at a casino, because that is how the games are constructed.
Yep.
They are constructed in the casino's favor. You can calculate your expected returns.
Uh-huh.
whereas the stock market has positive expected returns historically, because over time the our stock market has gone up consistently, right? Yeah. So even if I'm throwing darts on a million different stocks, my chances of making money is significantly or infinitely more, I should say, than going to a casino.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get you. My thing is, like, I don't understand it, so then I just stay away from it.
Yeah.
But, like,
which is good. I mean,
yeah, but yeah. I'm taking $100 a week and putting it in my reserve account and just doing nothing.
No, I think it's important to have, like, from the research I've done, it's important to have an emergency fund, which people say, like, it should be X amount, but yeah. you should have some sort of fund where it's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for growth. It's just for
when
emergencies.
Your furnace breaks down. And
yes,
you need
it. Yeah, exactly.
That's literally what mine just got drained for.
But that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, so you have that. Like, that's step one. And then step two is like your 401k match at your mm-hmm. work, because that's free money.
Yep.
Like, if they are matching you or any kind of match, you want to do it at least at that percentage that they're matching, because that is literally they're just handing you money.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's like, I don't know. There's like other steps where it's like, oh, you know, an IRA, which is an independent retirement account, because there's a lot of tax benefits to that. And then it's like, blah, 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 whatever. So I don't know. But I think it's like, do you think it's like purposely confusing?
Yeah.
So that people.
Yes.
People don't. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's why I like Robinhood. It's nice little pictures. And it's like,
I need to just talk to my cousin's very good at that stuff.
Like, which
Justin,
one?
Justin.
Justin?
Yeah. So
yeah,
it's like,
Justin
I just,
seems.
I mean, technically Josh is on top of that stuff
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I just need to.
They're smart lads.
I need to do something, because I think that what I'm doing is just this safe, like, all right, I just know that.
See, what's interesting about you is, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you're like, I don't take any risks, but then you throw a bunch of money into Doge.
But it's not risky. A bunch of money.
It's just a little sprinkle.
Yeah, I was like maybe spent $500, and even on its lowest, it's still worth $1,000. You know, like it's not.
Yeah,
I could take that out whenever, but then I'm going to be paying capital gains. So I,
yeah,
I just let it sit there.
Taxes, bro.
If I take it out before a dollar, then I owe Mike a cheeseburger, and I can't have that.
I don't know, dude. I would take it out. You know that it's. If it ever goes to that point, everyone's going to take it. Like, do you have a stop loss? Not
to,
a stop loss, but like, I think you can set like an amount where if it hits an amount, you pull it out.
It has, no, yeah, but like, it's going to, like, I'm good.
I don't think so. Like, it is going to get to a dollar and everyone's just going to pull it.
In my mind.
Before it gets to a dollar.
If it ever got, dude, if it got to Bitcoin levels, then I have trillions of dollars and I never have to worry about anything.
That
you know what I mean?
Be crazy.
Yeah.
That's when, like, that.
That's when I'll take it out.
That wouldn't ever be possible.
No, I forget what it was. I think if SHIB, which is like 0.0002 or whatever, if that ever got to where Doge is now, I think I it's like a couple million dollars. And like, that would be like.
It'll never.
No. And everyone kept saying that. And it's just like, it just keeps going up, man. Like, I get it. I understand that it's dumb. It's bad. It shouldn't do it. And it's like, oh, Doge dropped 50%, now it's worth like 7 cents or whatever. Guess what? That's three times what I paid for it.
Yeah,
like,
I don't care. Early. Yep.
Like, it, Doge would have to collapse before I pull it out.
But what are you waiting for?
More money.
But what if it never comes?
Dude, every time that I feel
is there
like
a point
oh,
where
is
you
it, is it gonna,
pull it?
If it hits 75, then I would think about it. Like, if it went back to its highest point, like if you look at the graphs
but
and you see the patterns
what age
and everything,
would you pull it out? Retirement?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You retire
sure.
and then you pull it out and it's
or,
just like a vacation?
Or there's like a medical bill that needs, like if there was an emergency,
yeah, sure. Yeah.
But like, there is literally no reason for me to pull it out.
No.
Because it's just, it's hurting me at that point.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm going to have to pay, like whatever I pull out, I'm going to have to pay 25% of that.
Yeah.
Like, no thanks. Just keep it in there.
Don't make it real.
Like, it's a meme now where like that money's been out of my account for so long that
it's
like I don't care. And it's just like, if something happens, like if something crazy, if Elon Musk is like, guess what, we're on Mars, we just met a Martian, they already have a city going, they actually decided to use Doge as the main currency, we're golden.
Yep.
Done. Penny goes to college and I get my G86. Like, that's it. We're like, I don't care. But
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Anyway, that wasn't on the list of things to talk about, but what else we got?
Apologize. I went down the rabbit hole on that, but I think finance is interesting, but everyone says like when you get into it, it's actually really boring.
Sure.
This is my problem. I like getting into things just enough before they get, like, I have to be serious about it. It's a big problem.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. You wanted to talk about anti-motivation motivation.
Yeah, so I've been watching Modern Family on Hulu, and I've been watching a lot of commercials. So I saw the Suits T-Mobile commercial, and yeah. I was, like, sad. I'm like, oh, man, what are they doing here? But I saw a commercial for Peloton. So I thought two commercials I want to talk about. One is Peloton,
yep.
Where it's like, you can do it. Everything's great, blah, 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 blah. And it's just these like fit people spinning on bikes.
Yeah.
And part of me is like, okay, yeah, I get it. But then like, I feel like there's a market where, hey, you're a piece of crap. Like you fatty, fat, fat. Like you better do this or you're going to just die of a heart attack or something. Like just be very like, not motivational, but just like, you're at rock bottom, you son of a gun. Like do something.
Kind of like a
like smoking, negative reinforcement.
Like a negative smoking ad.
I guess to some extent.
Where they're like, they pull out a black heart and they're like, this is my heart. Because yeah. I smoked one cigarette once when I was 18. Yeah.
This is a lump of coal.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, like, just have something that's just like, just an absolute, just degrading the people. Yeah. Just like, oh man, I'm surprised you even got out of bed today. You jack butt, you know, like whatever.
People like that.
I know.
There should be gyms where there's like dominatrix is.
That's what I'm saying. Like that
type would
of
be
thing.
Big. Yeah. Yeah. So people would like that.
I was thinking about that. And then,
sorry, that was wild.
No, that's it. So I was thinking about that. there's a propane commercial.
Okay.
And one of the lines is, and I know I'm jumping topics, but they're all commercials. So this is what I'm seeing at 3 a.m. when I'm up with my kid.
Yeah.
Is there's a commercial for propane. And they said the line, propane is fueling school buses, which then leads to higher test scores. And I'm just like sitting there like it's just this handsome dude. Right. So think like you have the Harvey in a suit talking about why propane's great. And, and you're just kind of this enamored by this guy. And then I stop and I think, I'm like, how is propane giving people higher test scores? I guess you can make the art, like they can say that and make the argument of like, well, if kids can't go to school, their test scores get lower.
Is it heating the schools maybe?
I don't know. It's for school buses. It's specifically for school buses.
Heating the school bus?
I don't know. How are propane fueled school buses happening?
I thought school buses took diesel.
It's this whole push for propane. I found out that for heating, when I was talking to Mike Bear Sr., apparently, like they're switching to whatever they were doing for the some sort of like Freon or not Freon, but whatever the stuff is they're putting in air conditioners.
Yeah,
they changed from an old type of fluid to a new type that worked really well.
Yeah,
but then they saw all the money they generated from the new stuff because like, oh well, you have to buy a new AC unit or you have to do whatever. And now they're pushing it again. I think this year or next year or whatever to do propane. So then now it's like, oh, now you got to redo all that. And like you just see this bump where it's like, what's in there now is like completely fine. It's efficient. It's safe. It's whatever. But then it's like, oh, but we can say it's better for the environment. Do propane. And now we have to get that much more money. And it's just, it's crazy. Just crazy stuff.
It's all about money.
It made me laugh. Yeah. It's like, oh, school buses are, propane's giving better test scores. I'm like, right. Yeah, sure. People are huffing propane and suddenly getting enlightened. I don't know.
It might be.
Maybe. So anyway, thought about that. And then I thought about kind of in the same line as like just degradation of fitness people is just being like asshole assistants of just like, hey, Siri, like what's the weather outside or whatever. No, I gotta mute her. And then she's like, I don't know. Why don't you look out the window, idiot? Or something like that. You know,
wow.
So like, oh, if you, okay, lazy, it's 76 degrees out there.
Dude, some people love that shit, and
it'd be
don't get it.
I think there's a weather app actually that
really?
Is like kind of mean, sarcastic.
Oh, wow.
And it got, like, if you look up like best weather apps, I think it's called Carrot, but it had something like that where it's like, I'm going to rule the world someday. It's like some weird AI type thing. But yeah, like, there's a market for it.
There is. And I never understood it, dude. Like, you know how there's like those restaurants where they're mean to you or whatever?
Yeah.
Or you have like insult comics. I never
yep.
got it. I never get that stuff. I just want people to be nice to me. It's like a crazy dream.
I mean, that's fine.
I don't know. I just don't. I don't, like, look, I respect it. People like that, but I don't get it.
I mean, you'll do the normal Peloton ad. You'll just be the fit guy on a bike.
I will never get it. I think Peloton's like the biggest scam.
How come?
It's a ton of money, and you could just get a bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
And ride outside, which is probably just better. But also, you can get an indoor bike. There are way cheaper indoor. Like, why do I need to watch a
video?
Here's what you can do.
Yeah.
Get a cheap indoor bike, which you can probably get for like a third of the price. Take your iPad, put it in front of your face, look up a YouTube video.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's probably a million of them.
Yes. I agree with you.
Done.
There's
my Peloton.
This is not an endorsement for Peloton.
Zero subscription fee for that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. People just like want the thing, man. They just want that brand or they want that. I don't know. I don't get it.
It's a status thing.
Well, I do get it. I mean, I'm that way sometimes. Like, a swoosh mark has cost me so much money in my life. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. That's the one that gets me. I just love Nike for some reason. I love that swoosh.
It's just cool. Yeah. It's fine.
It makes me cool. It makes me feel good.
It's no Champion, but...
Nope.
Champion was good for a while.
Maybe.
For a little bit.
A little bit.
It was cool for a minute.
I had some Champion stuff.
Yeah, for a minute it was cool.
I just like my Nike swoosh. It just makes me...
it's timeless.
Gives me that confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I don't know. Anyways... But there's no subscription. I hate subscriptions. That's what kills me.
So it's funny because Chelsea, like, we were budgeting yesterday.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we got to pay for a furnace. So let's budget and see what we can actually do.
Yep.
We're going to have daycare coming up in August and stuff. And it's like that's expensive.
Yeah.
And Chelsea was going through all her stuff. And it was like, okay, well, I have my car payment. I have student loans. I have all this stuff. And it's like, okay, cool. And then I'm going through mine. It's like, oh, I have... Game Pass and Apple TV Plus. And so it's like, I have all these just like little tchotchke, like,
yep.
I could literally cancel every subscription I have and it'd be like, there's nothing. Like, it's fine. Like, short of, I have a subscription for Formula now this kid, it's like $220 for Formula a month.
Oh,
it's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's crazy. And you don't think about that. It's just like, man.
Babies are expensive. Yeah.
Speaking of student loans, I wasn't going to talk about this. But did you see the link I sent you for AIP?
Yep.
Of just like, oh, we closed our schools down, so now we're just going to refund everyone.
Yep.
I think I'm screwed out of that. I don't think I get that money.
No.
Because I use the
private.
Private.
Yep.
Yeah.
You are.
So it's like
because I think my friends are in the same boat.
Yeah.
Yep.
So to be fair, though, I did pay for loans through them for the first like semester.
Oh, then so maybe like, you can get some back.
Yeah, best case, I could get a couple hundred dollars maybe or
sure.
something like or a couple thousand, I don't know what it is, but like maybe that. But I was so mad. Like, there are people just getting like, oh, from like 2004
right.
onward, it's like, oh, here's your money back.
But it's not, here's the thing, like, we're paying for it.
Yeah.
Eventually, like, the money comes from somewhere. Yeah. It's not,
yep.
Well, they do print money, which we're also paying for.
That's a whole
because
other thing,
the value of the dollar goes down. So, like, technically, we're paying the price for that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But finances are just so... It's just very complicated.
I'm torn because I think my politically leaning self is like, no, you got a degree. You got what you paid for. You have a job.
Yeah.
You're done. But on the flip side,
flippity-flop.
If other people are getting their... stuff forgiven and free and everything.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want that too,
right?
You know, like,
right.
I don't know. I'm torn. Like,
yeah, you can see both things. Like, I just think
if they write me a check, I'm not going to give it back. I'm going to cash it.
But economically, it just like, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
The money comes from somewhere. It's not like, oh, we'll just.
Yeah. Something has to hurt for that to happen.
They could have done this at any point.
I guess.
No, let's wait for election year.
I just don't know how the math works out.
It doesn't work out well.
I don't know.
Sure.
I'm not a math guy. I'm not a whiteboard guy.
Yeah.
But there you talk about the whiteboard. The government invented the whiteboard.
How many? It was a couple billion, right?
I don't know.
$3 billion, something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also crazy to think about that, where it's like, okay, it's 3 billion, it's 270,000 students or whatever.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, I can get, I'm not for it, but I can understand where people are coming from, where like, oh, well, if this wealthy person who makes like $1 billion a second or whatever,
yeah,
is just like, oh, here, we paid for all this stuff. On one hand, it's like, well, no, if I was the billionaire, I wouldn't want people just taking my money.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's like, wow, that's literally life-changing stuff. That would just be like, you're done. So I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Just people should just leave everything else alone. I don't know.
I agree. For the most part.
I wish that it wasn't shoved down my throat. It's like, you have to go to college. You have to do this. You have to do this.
I agree with that.
That is just,
I just remember there was like a stigma against like trades and stuff. Dude, you can make so much money doing trades, man.
Yep.
Because there's
nobody
just
knows
such
how to do it anymore.
Nobody knows how to do it. There's such a need for it. Like, this talk about supply and demand.
Yep.
And you're a good tradesman. You make a ton of money. There's an opportunity to start your own business at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, wow, what? And it was just like never talked about in the same light. Like, you have to go to college and this and that. And I don't know, man. I mean, I went to school for music. Talk about, and I wouldn't change that because I had great experiences and it's shaped who I am. But right. Talk about a useless degree in terms of like actually getting jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, bro. It's tough.
You live and learn. Like, I don't, you know, like, it's.
Yeah, right. But, and here's the problem, too, is like, people who can't afford to go to college, they're still telling them to go to college.
Yeah.
And taking out like $500,000 loans.
Yep.
That's crazy. What other aspect of life would you be like, I can't really afford this, but.
Housing.
Yeah, yeah, housing, because we're told you need to have a house to be cool.
Housing, cars, all that stuff. Is like, there are certain things where it's like, the thing that drives me crazy is when somebody says you deserve something. It's like, we don't deserve anything. Like, there's nothing, like, nobody deserves anything. Like, people will say that just to be like kind and do it. Oh, you deserve that. Yeah, go crazy.
What about like water? Deserve water?
Yeah.
You don't think so?
I don't know. From a basic animal thing, it's like, if you
biology dictates, if you fight, nothing's given to you, if you claw at it and
if you get it, if you procure it, then you deserve it.
Right.
My TV just turned on and is listening to us.
Clyde user red TV just turned on.
Shut this off.
Yeah, that's scary. I can understand that perspective, right? Like, if you're just talking purely biological point of view. Or Darwinism or whatever, you know?
Yeah, that's the only time. Like, if you come out on top...
Because in the animal kingdom...
That's it.
Little lion guy who's not as big as the other guys.
Little lion man?
Little lion man.
That's a song, right?
Simba? Nah, Simba got pretty big. Anyways, like, I don't know. If you're smaller than the pack, you just die, right? Like, nobody's giving you anything.
Yeah.
Maybe like elephants. Elephants are really nice.
I feel like we talked about this, right?
Yeah, they're very community-based. So I think that maybe they have some, like, they help people out because they stick together, maybe. But I could be totally wrong about that because, again, I'm not an expert in anything.
Yeah.
So this is not financial advice. Everyone always says that. It just makes me funny.
Financially, don't be an elephant. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, I think financially elephants would be pretty good because they got the like ivory, right?
Oh, which is worth a lot. Well, I mean, we got kidneys. That's the same thing.
Well, humans are the most financial.
Can you regrow a tusk?
I don't think so.
Neither do I. So like it'd be the same thing as.
Well, some are. There's a thing for that. There's a term for that. Like some animals have like things that can regrow because like, for example, squirrels need to chew on things because their teeth don't stop growing, I think, or something.
Yeah, that's beavers, but sure.
No, I think it's squirrels, too.
Squirrels, too?
Okay. Yeah. Right. Because, like, what happens is it gets too long and then it starts hurting themselves.
Yeah, it goes through their brain.
Or their eye or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you gotta go through the eye of the brain or whatever.
But they need to...
It's not beavers?
It might be beavers, too.
I don't know. I think it
could be both.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm not an expert, as I've said. I like elephants. They're not penguins, but they're good.
They're fine.
They're very cute. I really like elephants. They're probably one of the most popular animals.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see like the top 10 most popular animals. Probably like elephants, tigers, bears, dogs, cats, obviously. Maybe like
birds.
Birds. Yeah, but what kind of bird?
Calvin asked you what your favorite bird was? He's getting into birds, I guess.
No, he didn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Text me out of the blue and was like, hey, what's your favorite bird? I'm like, I don't know.
What is your favorite bird?
I told him, I really got to think about it. Yeah. But like off the cuff, I said a toucan.
That's a nice choice.
What he said. It's good.
Colorful.
Yeah.
Big beak. Tropical.
Yeah.
Mascot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fruit Loops.
I think there's a lot of potential there. I feel
bad because I can't remember. He told me two birds that he liked.
What did he say?
I can't tell you because they were weird. I've never heard of them before. It's Snapchat, so it disappears. I can't.
Yeah.
You know. They look cool.
They did?
Yeah.
See, I always say crow, but penguins are birds, so I have to say penguins, though, but I never like consider them birds because they don't fly.
I feel like if you go like the flightless route, it's like it's a kind of a, because like it's ostriches a little different. Are sick then,
right?
You know?
Exactly. So it's I kind of separate that in my mind.
Yeah, ostriches have fur, is that right?
What
do they have?
They have feathers.
I know, but do they have like a weird type of feather, like they're like almost like hairy feathers?
What is a hairy feather? Stop.
I don't know.
They're the fastest animal on two legs.
Yeah
Those things can cook.
Yeah.
Big time.
They can't fly.
But they can run.
They can run.
Fast.
And they have massive eggs.
Yeah, they do have massive eggs too. Yeah. They might, I don't know if they have the largest egg, but it's got to be up there.
I think it might be. It
might be the largest egg. Yeah.
Short of like dinosaurs.
Which are cool.
Which are also birds apparently.
They think they have feathers now or something.
Yeah, stupid.
If you believe in dinosaurs.
I don't believe in feathered dinosaurs.
Yeah, it just seems less cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wanted to get into sports ball real quick. Right, nice call on that.
Yeah.
Were you reading my phone or did you telepathic?
I know we have two topics left to talk about.
Yeah.
All this wasn't on the docket.
So there's a lot going on in the sports ball world right now, and I'm heavily invested in the game because A, I love it, and B, my teams are still in. So the Knicks last night, as of recording, just beat the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yeah.
Meaning that they're going on to the second round. Now, if you know anything about basketball and the New York Knicks, we have not been good since
94.
Wrong. That's New York Rangers. But impressive.
But I listened to you. Kind
of. We did go to the finals in 94.
Okay, well, there you go.
Patrick Ewing, bro.
Yeah.
We choked.
Well.
It's like, fuck. Anyways, so that year we could have won both because we won the Stanley Cup. We choked in basketball. Anyways, so 94. Anyways, since the 90s, we've been bad, and except for like a few blips here and there. But we're good now. And it's like I don't know how to feel about it because I'm just so like part of my identity is like knowing the Knicks suck.
Yeah.
But they don't. So I feel kind of lost now.
I'm going to help you out.
Excited and scared. Yeah.
Feel good. That's the correct
response.
I feel
nervous.
You should feel good.
Because it's like Icarus. Okay? Yeah. You can only burn up if you start flying towards the sun. And that's where I'm going right now. I'm going straight at the sun.
Yeah. Well, what's the alternative?
Staying on the ground and being visible.
Sucking, you can't be disappointed.
Yeah, because you're expecting to not be good, and then it's a great outlet to complain. Like, as a Giants fan, it's like, I know I'm going to suck, and I'm going to complain, and it's like camaraderie. But we made the playoffs, not last year, but the year before, so then it gave us hope. And then I came crashing down. Like,
the hope
you
that
can't
kills you.
Fall if you're already on the ground.
Yeah, but you also can't enjoy something if you're just on the ground. Like, that's what I mean. I don't understand that.
Where but there's
like,
risk. There's only risk involved when you're in the air.
Yeah, but if you're not going to do risk, especially when I'm talking like sports ball.
Yes.
Because I'm a big sports ball guy. And if you put the risk, if you remove the risk.
Yes.
Then it doesn't matter. It's not fun. Like, who cares?
I think it's a greater problem in my life where I'm not willing to take risk. Because I'm afraid of failure.
Yeah.
And that permeates throughout my fandom as well.
I'm going to blow your mind right now. You're not taking any of the risk.
I'm taking a lot of the risk.
It's only the teams.
That's not true at all.
You don't. What risk are you taking? Or are you betting on this?
Time investment.
Okay.
There is a financial component as well. But even if there wasn't a financial component, I am investing my emotions in the team.
Yeah.
I'm investing my time in my emotion.
If you're always bad and they're always like, then your investment of emotion is very small. You don't have to
look, I want them to be good, obviously, but I'm scared that they're going to let me down. Yeah. I'm scared. I'm just scared.
So you don't want them to be good?
No, I do want them to be good.
Well, then
I just am afraid of failure.
Okay.
I don't want to fail.
Well, you're not failing. It's the
and
team.
And I don't want to be alone. Those are my two biggest fears.
Everyone that's a true fan of the
New York.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't live in New York, so I am kind of alone.
Ah, that's like, you go to Florida and there's some Steeler stuff, you know? Like.
Yeah, I mean, New York, there's a lot of New York fans around the country.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a lot. I don't find a lot in Pittsburgh.
Well.
Which is interesting. Like, in North Carolina, there's actually a lot, which is just really strange to me.
Well, you go to Pirates here, right?
We do have Pirates here.
We don't have a basketball team.
We don't have a basketball team. Pittsburgh might get a basketball team, though. They were talking about that, which would be really cool.
That's probably not going to be any good. Where would they even play? They'd have to build a new...
No, they would play in where the Penguins play.
I forget what it's called. I was going to say Mellon, but
PPG Paints?
Sure.
It's either PPG Paints, Console...
It's not Console.
No, it's not Console anymore, so it's probably PPG Paints.
That's not Mellon. We went Mellon, Console, and then PPG.
There was might be one more in there somewhere. It changed
King.
A lot.
Yeah.
Not Burger King. That's probably the next one.
Yeah.
But that's how they do it in Madison Square Garden. So the New York Rangers hockey team and the New York Knicks both play there. So what they do is they put the wood floor over the ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
So anyways, the New York Knicks are moving on. They're playing the Indiana Pacers. So anyone who knows their basketball history knows that the Pacers beat us in one of the most famous NBA series of all time, Reggie Miller. It was the famous game where Spike Lee was on the side and he was doing, I think the story goes, like he was doing the choking symbol to Reggie Miller, and then Reggie Miller just pops off and wins the game and like seconds left. It was a bad time. But I'm talking about like I was even like alive. Well, I was alive, but I was like obviously like, too young. Actually, maybe I wasn't alive. I gotta see when that was. Anyways, so... A little nervous about that, but it's revenge time, so I just hope that the Knicks win.
Sure. Yeah, why wouldn't you?
But it's been really cool, because my dad's like not really into basketball, but he's been getting into it more, because I've been really excited about it, so we've been kind of talking and bonding over that.
You're hedging your bets, because if baseball doesn't pan out, or NHL, or whatever your other
hockey,
team.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the flip side of it. So the Rangers are also in the second round.
But they're on life support.
Wrong. Opposite.
Okay. Well,
they
had a 50-50 shot at that.
You did. They destroyed the Capitals. They swept them. I'm less worried about the Rangers, but I'm kind of more worried about them because, like, we're right next to the Sun. The Rangers were the first in the NHL. They got the President's Trophy, which means they're the best record out of any other team. But here's what I'm thinking as it pertains to the Rangers. Everything's lining up. The stars are aligning because back in 94, like you mentioned, not me, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
And they won the cup. That was the last time they won the cup. They also won the President's Trophy. So everyone was like, oh, the President's Trophy is a curse because the last 12 President's Trophy winners have lost. But it's like, dude,
not for
the Rangers have been there, dude. And the last time we won the President's Trophy.
They were the ones that put the curse on the President's Trophy. So they can remove it and you're good.
I don't know. I don't think so because I think Chicago was the last team to win the President's Trophy.
All right,
and
well,
the cup,
I'm stretching
which is
out
like,
here.
2012, it was like Patrick Kane. Someone's gonna fact check me on that, but
What's the equivalent of a strikeout in hockey terms?
A strikeout? I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe just like a turnover
offsides,
or
yeah,
like an offsides yeah, right. Or you just missed a shot,
like a blue
like
line,
a missed shot,
like a blue hit the blue line.
I mean, that's offsides, kind of.
Yeah,
kind of. You're speaking around offsides.
Hitting the back of the net.
Like a hand pass.
Can...
Or like, I wouldn't say it's like a penalty, because that's a lot more significant.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like you're setting your team back a little bit, I guess. So I'd say like a turnover, maybe.
Okay.
It's like a quick.
Sorry, I'm derailing you.
Yeah. No, I'm curious if people would agree with that assessment, but... Anyways, that's what my dad's really excited about. He's a huge Rangers fan. That's his favorite sport of all time. He's super pumped. And I just, dude, if we win the cup, just seeing how happy my dad's going to be would just, that would be worth it so much, bro. I'm just picturing this moment. I'm just starting to put the pieces together in my head.
So you're flying too close where to the sun. This is your problem.
This is where it's coming from, bro, because I'm like starting to picture like we win the cup. We're screaming. We're hugging. He might cry.
Yeah.
I might see my dad cry, which never happens.
That's what you want to see.
I want to see it. You know me, family, crying.
Yeah.
Brotherly love.
That's it.
That's like all my things. Oh. So I'm really excited about that. I mean, we have...
It's a different team.
We have the team to do it, bro. Our team's really good. I am nervous because our 5-on-5 play is not as good. Our success has been generated from special teams mostly, and like rushes are like the two best areas of our game. And in the playoffs, historically, that's not super sustainable because teams are just better. They're not going to give you those opportunities. They're going to play more clean, not give you penalties, and they're going to play better defensively and not give you those like odd man rushes. So it's just tough. I mean, we were able to defeat the Capitals, but here's the thing, like in the Capitals series, they gave us so many penalties and they were not scoring on their power plays.
Well, Capitals are generally bruisers, right? Like, aren't they a little bit more physical?
Yeah, they're generally more physical. I don't think they were pretty. They tried to start generating, you know, some physicality during the series, but we're pretty good at like neutralizing that because we don't. I mean, we can play that game. I don't think that's our strength, but we can kind of hang. We have some enforcers that can hang in there with them. But yeah, I mean, Tom Wilson's doing his usual shit where he's trying to do things, but like we were kind of good at neutralizing that. We weren't getting baited by it.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I think we have the best goalie in the world.
So I'm sorry, who are you playing now, Ben?
We play...
What's next?
Who do we play? We play the Carolina Hurricane, which I'm very nervous about.
Ow.
They're good.
They're worse than the Capitals.
That is a completely incorrect statement.
Again, I got the 50-50 on that. I'm just really not hitting these.
The Hurricanes are good, and they've had our number. Well, it's been kind of back and forth in past years, in recent years.
What about this year? What was their record?
I think we're positive against them.
Okay.
But so they in the playoffs, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Playoff hockey is a different breed.
It's the best, dude. Anyway.
It is, dude. It is so exciting. Hockey is such an exciting sport, and I encourage anyone who's like on the fence about it just to give it a try. Because people say that it's hard to follow the puck and stuff, but... A little trick is when you're watching hockey, you can't really follow the puck. You just look at the players. Whoever the player, like whatever player is doing motions that are indicating they have the puck, like that's easier maybe than like trying to spot the puck. So like their stick handling.
Are you talking like real, like if you're at the game or just.
No, people who watch TV have always like indicated like I can never keep track of the puck. It's really hard to.
Oh, okay.
Really, it's an issue. Like I remember when I was young too, and it was like sometimes I'd ask my dad where the puck is.
I just feel like there's enough like computer graphics where it's like they have like a black
it's
shadow.
It's much better now. They do have that. And also they're doing this new thing with they'll have the name of the player who has the puck up, and they're pretty good at doing that whenever there's like a sustained possession or something, they're passing it back. So it's got like technology's gotten a lot better.
Just turn into a video game and just have like a bright yellow arrow above the person that has the puck.
It's,
you know?
Not that crazy because you don't want to distract from the game, but it's pretty good where it's like
so anyways. When do they play? When's the next game?
We don't probably next week because we're still waiting on the rest of the series to finish. So Toronto just won last night and they forced the game 7 against Boston. Toronto has I feel so bad for Maple Leaf fans because they have choked. They've lost in game 7 like every year, bro. This always happens.
So they choked again?
No, they might. They play.
Oh, they're playing again. Okay.
Tomorrow probably.
Yeah.
Anyways, sorry. That's rough. Long tangent on that, but I'm very excited. Hockey's exciting. Basketball is pretty exciting.
Yeah,
it's less exciting. My favorite sports are football 1, then hockey 2, baseball 3. 2 and 3 are very close. There's a little gap between 1 and 2, not a huge gap. And then there's a little gap. Basketball is probably 4.
I like hockey so much more than football.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's constant action. There's less commercials. Yep.
Yeah.
I've described why I like football. It just has a lot of aspects that I appreciate about a game. But I really like all sports. Like, I don't think many people are like that. I think people definitely have their favorites and they don't like other sports, but I really can appreciate every sport. Like, I can sit down and watch golf.
Curling.
I love curling. Yeah. I think curling's fascinating. Yeah. I love when the Olympics come on because there's a lot of sports that you don't generally see and you get to learn a lot about the intricacies of, like, archery or...
We did the top five winter ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Hockey was one, but...
Yeah, well...
Yeah. And I could watch tennis. My mom loves tennis, so I'm like super into tennis whenever like the big tournaments come on. So,
yeah,
never gotten into cricket, and I still don't understand the rules. So there's some weak points in my game.
Yeah,
and rugby, I'm like a little shaky on too. But
rugby is just like a somehow more boring football in a way.
Rugby's pretty cool, I think. Cricket is. I don't really get cricket at all. Rugby's cool, but I'm not just an expert on it, but.
I don't like you can say cricket and croquet.
Croquet is cool because I've played it.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever watched it. Dude, I'll even watch cornhole when it's on ESPN.
Yeah, cornholes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like cornhole, darts, things like that. Like
darts is great.
Darts can be cool. Here's the thing. Like, especially like bowling, right?
Yeah.
Like, to me, bowling is boring as heck. It's cool when it's like, wow, I can't believe that they... crush those pins every time.
Yeah.
But if you're doing everything right, like if you're playing bowling the best you can play,
yeah,
it's the most boring thing. Like the only cool things about bowling is if you like, oh, I can't believe he somehow hit both of those pins and got the split still or something like that. That's the interesting part. If you're just nailing strike after strike after strike, it's like, okay, it's boring.
I don't know if I agree with that assessment. Because, like, once you get more involved in the game and you start learning about how they're oiling the lanes and they're always different and they have to adjust and find lines, it all comes down to the storylines between, like, players and stuff and the history between that and the explanation that goes into that. And also, obviously, an explanation of the sport, why it's so difficult, why what they're doing is really impressive.
Yeah.
And obviously just like the excitement. Like I think like once you get that investment to me, like bowling, for example, it's like, yeah, if they might be hitting strikes, but when the ball's going and you're watching, you're like, holy shit, is he going to get his ninth strike?
Like it's that cool. is like, I'm not saying it's not impressive.
No, I mean, look, just, bowling's way down on my list.
You see it 10 times in a row,
but I respect it. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a little bit like when you have $5,000 on this guy to get a perfect game.
Okay. Fair enough.
And that ninth frame comes and that ball is going down.
Yeah.
You're a little antsy.
All right. Well, I've never had that. That's fair.
You should try it.
I don't fly close to the sun. I can't do that.
True. Anyways, so a lot going on in the world of sports, and I'm excited. The Yankees are kind of not doing as good as they were.
Yeah.
But it's early.
You can't have it all.
I dream about New York winning all four major sports in 1 year. I think that might be the best year of my life if that happens.
Has that ever happened to anyone?
Probably I think not. There's been three is the most, and it's probably like...
But is that just based off of the teams? Like, the cities only have three teams?
No. I think...
Because we did Penguins and Steelers 1 year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, you have trouble because, like, a lot of cities don't have all the teams, right? Yeah. So it's only, like, you're only eligible for, like, a Grand Slam and, like, the big cities. Yeah. I think three has happened, though. I mean, Pittsburgh could do three. The Pirates just suck.
I keep forgetting we have.
Yeah, two has definitely happened, but two is even really hard, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Philly's done two.
Or Flyers, right?
Yeah, but I think it was, like, the Eagles and Phillies. Oh. Baseball and, like, football or something, I think, may have overlapped.
Yeah,
I don't know. That would be a cool, like, trivia question, like, what... city is.
Yeah, I guess this is kind of weird that Pittsburgh doesn't have a basketball team.
Yeah, I don't know. It's well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's like a big sports city, but it's not like a New York or Chicago or LA or
mm-hmm.
like it's not the biggest city. Like those cities obviously are going to have all the sports.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like one tier down in my mind.
Double A.
Triple A.
Okay.
If we're doing baseball analogy, which we. That is.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Triple A is 1 tier down. Anyways, that's all my sports talk. Apologies for anyone who doesn't care about sports, but it's a big part of my
apology
life.
Apology accepted. I was just kidding.
Apology not accepted.
Wow. I accepted your apology. I don't care about sports.
I don't owe you anything.
I'm just kidding. I did say I liked sports ball.
Right.
Tekken. Feng Wang, right? He won.
Feng? Which tournament?
Whatever, last night.
Oh, yeah. So he won the Electric Clash.
Yeah.
Evo Japan, it was... Well, are you going to watch it?
No, I mean, I will, but like, who wins?
You don't care if I spoil it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Lily.
Really?
Yep. It was Lily versus Dragunov in the final round. Huh. Lily took it like decisively.
Wow.
He's a really good Lily player.
Yeah.
So that was cool to see.
I was watching that Feng Dragunov matchup, and I thought Dragunov was just going to like crush him.
Yeah.
And he was just whooped on him.
Feng's also like...
Yeah.
Super top tier, though.
Yeah.
That's what I just don't like. I hate when esports gets into like, okay, there's only like League. This happens all the time. Like, you just see the same champions just because they're statistically the best. It's mm-hmm. tough. So I was really happy to see that Lily won. Nina didn't really have a great showing, which was kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
But there were some laws. I think a law came in like fourth or something. I was telling
that's
you,
what you were
Evo.
Saying. Yeah, I need to.
So
check
that's
that out.
Impressive. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. I just can't wait. I just want Kuma to win a tournament just out of nowhere. Like, it just will never happen, but that would be the greatest.
That would. Yeah.
Kuma in the finals?
Yeah.
That might be the most hyped thing to ever happen in Tekken.
That's like the ultimate. Like, you're beyond Tekken at that point. Like, you beat it with Kuma.
That's
like,
that's like everyone's watching that.
It's like possible, right? Like, it's one
possible.
Of those things. Like, you can't, like, there is a situation. I don't even say universe. Like, there's a situation where, like, somebody could. You can do it. Like, if you hit the... It's just button inputs.
Dude, there are pro Kuma players who are very good who can take games off of anyone.
Yeah.
It's just about stringing enough in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It is unbelievably unlikely.
Just tilting the other person.
But if Kuma makes it to the final, I mean, that's like a top story.
Right.
And like, all... Like, you get people watching Tekken who've never seen Tekken if that happens.
Yep.
Like, why is this bear in the finals of like Evo?
Yeah,
that would be so cool.
That'd be
that's what I'm rooting for.
I'd
or Nina, too. Nina's second.
Yeah.
Even though I love
sure.
Nina, but
yeah.
that's more feasible.
All right, I know we're getting over. So I want to talk about D&D. I want to pick your brain on a couple things,
okay?
Because I am trying to tweak some combat stuff.
I'd appreciate you not picking my brain because I'd probably die from that.
Okay, well, I don't know, metaphorically pick your brain.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I was running some of these by Nate, and I don't like he was also fighting in Tekken, so I don't know how into the things he was listening, or he just hates all these ideas, and I'm probably gonna just piss people off. But when it comes to, I'll start with the lower easy stuff first. When it comes to movement speed, we just eliminated movement speed. And you convert it into like close, so like right next to you, near opponents and far opponents. Does that like break things in your mind to kind of speed things through? So like rather than like counting squares and doing different things, it's just like what's feasible, or would you think that's runs the risk of being like feeling cheated?
No, is there like a specific rule on like it takes one movement to get from medium to close, or is it just all
it's one of those
theoretical
like seeing what you're trying to do and trying to like it's not the DM fighting you, right? So like if you're trying to like move, it's not like that. It's just trying to like, okay, if you want to like, if you're a halfling and you want to get springboarded by like this orc to get like extra movement speed or to get like extra height or to get, you know, whatever, like just do it, and then the story will play out and stuff like that. Like it's a little more loosey goosey with that kind of stuff. That was kind of the thought behind it, where it's like if you're okay, I have movement speed, so and this kind of leads into like disengaging, right? Like it's just get rid of that kind of stuff. And I have a tweak on that too, but trying to streamline combat and make it a little bit more,
accessible.
For lack of a better term, like cinematic, like almost be like okay, like what do you want to do? How can I help you accomplish that?
Right.
And then the only thing that would like stop you from doing it would be just like a dice roll or something like that.
So I think that totally works if you're going to do it in like the theater of the mind-esque way. where there's no, like, if there's pieces on the board, obviously that doesn't really line up.
Right.
So yeah. It'd all have to be, everyone would have to be on board with the,
yeah,
that style of it, which I know some people prefer
it,
one,
yeah,
or the other.
And that's the thing I'm struggling with, where it's like, what I would love to do is, so put that off to the side. So that's one thing, right? Another thing would be the disengage stuff. But what I, this person on YouTube, I forget his name, but he was talking about, did you look at where the DM doesn't actually roll creature attacks? Have you looked at this at all?
No, so, I've never seen that.
Let's say you have an armor class of like 15, right? And that's your player character. And this is a way to keep players engaged, where players basically control everything. So the idea is, if you have a 15 armor class, subtract 10, which would give you 5, right? That's your armor modifier, is you have a plus 5 to your armor. So what would happen is, if I'm rolling like a creature attack, whatever my plus to hit is, so if I have like a plus 3 to hit, I would add 12 to any like modifier on my end. So like in that case, it'd be like a plus 15. And what you would do is, you would take your armor modifier and you'd roll a d20, and you're essentially defending versus, yeah, me trying to attack.
Okay.
So rather than me rolling and being like, does a 15 hit or,
right,
whatever?
Yeah.
I just straight up tell you like, okay, this dragon's attack is going to be a 15, and you know what you have to like roll to do it. But it's this idea that you, like, players are the ones rolling to defend and stuff, and I'm rolling less as a DM, trying to keep people a little bit more involved. And then when it comes to something like people tend to just stand still, because if they move, they just get attacked by like an opportune attack and whatnot. So it would be this idea of, okay, if you want to move away, that's fine. They're going to swing at you, but you have an advantage. Like, I'll just give you like an advantage to block it or something like that. So it's 9 times out of 10, you're just going to block it. And in the off chance that you roll a 1 or something, then that's a big deal. But like, trying to make things a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more on the player, and less about me just like gleefully rolling to try to just murder people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to incorporate that mixed with, I guess, what you were talking about, where it's like the enemies go, players go, and like break them into like two teams to try to kind of help the camaraderie and different things like that. And then, yeah, like the disengage stuff and whatnot, and like the movement speed. I'm trying to streamline it, make it faster, where you have combat, but it's not this like, I'm just sitting here waiting for my turn while this person's doing like 12 different things. You know, like stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what I was kicking around.
No, I think that's a really interesting idea. I've never heard of that before, yeah, but it makes a lot of sense, where it's like, yeah, the agency's on the players and they're in control, like, dice rolls are always the way to go. Like, people, that's like,
yeah,
the whole game, right? People love rolling dice, and that's why they're there. And I mean, that's a big reason why they're there. So like, the more you can get them involved that way, I think that's definitely a positive.
It's basically converting the enemy to just a difficulty check, where it's right, like, hey, right, it's always a base of 12.
Yeah.
Plus whatever they're,
because it feels bad when the DM is just crushing you and he's rolling,
yeah,
and, or they're rolling and, yeah, and they're just beating your armor class over and over, and you feel like you have no, it's just like, guess I get hit. Yep. Yeah.
Like,
no,
if this thing's always going to be hitting you at 18, it's right, just like 18, yeah, 18, yeah, yeah, 18.
Does the math work out the same way?
Apparently, like, so they were, the guy that was doing it, he was saying like people went through it and they said that it was generally like, this is the benefit.
I'm sure there's like some discrepancies where it's like, because it's, well, I don't know.
I mean, you have a book right there. Like, go ahead and grab the enemies. The DM, not the DM guide, the monster manual. Just, yeah, grab the monster manual. It should be in the front. It should be like 1, 2, or 3. Grab the monster manual, open it up, pick literally any, like, first thing you come to.
Griffin.
All right, what's the plus to hit?
Plus 6.
6. Okay. So that's an 18. So it has, right, a 12 plus, so, 6.
Why 12?
That's just what they said. They said that when they were going through,
like,
it,
the
difficulty check is, mm-hmm, like a 12, like a 10 is, I like see, normal.
Yeah.
12 is a little, so he'd be hitting for 18. So, and if you're, and to be fair, if you're fighting a griffin, you're probably a little bit higher level anyway. But like, challenge, let's say you have, yeah, so like, let's say you have a plus 15 arm, so it's a 5
plus 5,
you take a d20, roll the d20, you could get a nat 20, you know, if you want, sure, or whatever,
sure. Yeah,
but you automatically know that, okay, if it's hitting 18, okay, you have to roll a 13 or better,
yeah,
and stuff, yeah, like that, yeah, so yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's that excitement of,
yeah,
you know, so that's what I want to try. I don't know if people are going to go for it. That's kind of my...
That's really interesting. I would be very curious about how... I mean, players are obviously going to... I feel like they would like it more. Maybe it'd be a little confusing at first.
We convert it and we would talk through it and everything. But it's like...
It's more dice rolls. I mean, yeah, who doesn't like that?
It's like you are in control of your destiny. You, yeah, roll your dice.
Yeah.
Like, that's it's not like the DM has some hot streak of, I'm just going to crush, right, you every time.
Right.
It's just...
Because that's never fun.
Right. Like, I'd roll for if it hits or whatever, like, it, you know, because it's really just rolling to hit.
Yeah, right.
But
yeah, you would roll the damage, still,
and stuff.
Like, you don't want to roll damage against yourself.
Right.
So, yeah. It'd
be the same thing with, like, crit hits. So, like, crits, obviously, you're just taking the full amount of the
if
dice.
If you roll,
like,
a 1, that's a crit
fail
against, yeah, the enemy. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then if you roll a 20, that's kind of like them crit failing. Or you can spin it in a way where it's like,
yeah,
you could do more positive spin,
yeah,
where they're just doing an amazing defensive maneuver.
Yeah, because if you're doing like an amazing defensive maneuver and get a nat 20, normally be like, okay, yeah, you block it, easy, no problem. But for a nat 20, and like we've talked about this multiple times, where like a nat 20, okay, tell me what cool thing you're doing with,
right,
this,
yeah,
and we're going to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be the same thing with like a nat 1, it's like you're getting smoked.
Yeah. Right.
So I want to do that. And then, like I said, like it'd be that type of combat. But if you are moving away, because I want players to be mobile, I want people to be like running around doing things and whatever. And I want people to be talking about like, okay, as a collective turn with the players, go in any order you want that makes sense collectively. Like you guys are creating this, you know, 3-second scene of, okay, you know, Ryan's loosing an arrow, Jeff's swinging an axe, whatever. And then we kind of like weave that in and out and do different things, I think would be kind of cool. But
right,
if you
want
to leave a space of melee, you can do that. There's still the chance that, okay, your back's being turned, the enemy's going to try to take an opportune attack, but we're just doing it at advantage or whatever,
yeah,
and kind of mitigate some of that stuff. If at all. If it was up to me, I would just remove that completely. But it, you know, it is what it is. So I was thinking about those. And then... The more I read this book, because it's more of like a, I don't call it a hardcore book, but it wants you to be a little bit more gritty, a little bit more like, hey, really think about this like harsh condition that you guys are in and whatnot. And when I was asking a lot of the players, like, okay, like on a scale of like 1 to 10, it came around a 7. So it's like, okay, 5's mid, right? Like it's like, oh, we want it to be easy or just kind of a walk in the park. It's like leaning more on the difficulty side, which is good. I would like to get rid of dark vision. That's my thing. That's the radical whatever. Because the way I view it is most races have dark vision. Like, you know, like...
I don't think that's true.
Okay. Most races that people are playing have dark vision.
That's more
or less
true.
So then either... Like, and if people want dark vision, that's fine too, but it's going to be like dark vision. Like you're seeing in black and white, you're seeing kind of these weird shapes. You have a limited range. Like it's not like I could just see in the dark like that. We're going to really kind of role play that.
Sure.
So in my mind, I think it makes it simpler and easier and just helps everyone visualize it better as humans who don't have dark vision to think through it in terms of like, okay, you want to make sure you have, you know, torches and candles and lamps and different things like that, and like
right,
how that interacts with different things, because that's something I'm going to be looking at as a DM specifically, stuff like that. That I'm just trying to like, I want people to be like, I want the party to grow together. I want them to think through things together and strategize together and whatnot. So like, I don't know, those were some of the things I was kicking around, but
I don't know if I 100% agree with the dark vision aspect of that, just because in my mind, I think D&D, one of the important aspects of it is individuality. And that's something that, you know, that characteristic could be important,
sure,
to someone as their character. I mean, I know it's not like the most groundbreaking thing, but being that one elf in the party who can actually have dark vision and you're in a bad spot, you know, that can be that moment of, you know, having that trait is really useful. And, you know, I just think moments like that, I'm all about specialty. And, you know, like if you have a rogue, they're picking locks. And if you have a wizard, they're checking for magic.
Or they should be anyway. Yeah,
right. So it's like, I don't know. I think that's a huge aspect of it. And we've talked about that a lot as it pertains to like video games too. I just think people want to be special. They want to have their specialty. And that's a small piece of it. I don't think it's like huge or anything, but I think that's just a small aspect of that.
And I'm fine with
part
that.
Of the game.
I just don't think that we've ever done Dark Vision where it ever felt special. It never felt special. Either everyone had it or the rules just didn't apply and it didn't matter.
I don't know, man. It feels good sometimes when it's like, all right, you guys are in a cave. What, you know, you can't see anything. It's like, well, I can see a little bit.
You can see some shadows. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I don't know.
But
we've never played it like, I think generally we play it like, if you have dark vision, you could just see, which technically is not correct.
And that's what I'm going to be clear about.
Right.
Either it's like, okay, like it's like either way it's going to be nerfed. Like, it's not going to be this just like,
I can see
like right now, pretend this was all black.
Yeah.
It's the point of this is to feel like a harsh environment, a cold environment, you know, like that sort of thing. So,
right.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
No, I think these are good ideas. And I mean, that's the beauty of the game, right? You just can customize anything.
The combat's really the thing that I'm personally excited about, that I think that it bring, like, even as me, like if I was playing, I would much rather be the one rolling and defending and everything that was happening to my character, I was in control of by the one rolling, not just like flailing
really
around.
Interesting idea that I have not heard before. So I'd be really curious to see what the response would be for something like that. That's really cool.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a simple system, but at least it keeps people engaged. Because I think engagement's the main thing. It's like just trying to make sure that it's like you're not just sitting there waiting for either the next hit or your turn or this stuff. So it's like if the group is moving together as a unit, as they should, as a party.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a benefit overall.
Yeah, I found in just my games, combat, it's just you got to be understanding of like the amount of time it takes. Like, even if you have the most engaging combat, there's going to be a certain threshold where it's like people are just going to check out. So I try to be very cognizant of that and make sure that I'm never having it last too long, whether people run away or they just get killed off or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
what's the thing? Like, it needs to make sense. That's all. Like, it needs to make sense in the story. So like, you know, if you're doing this crazy hit and you crit and you crush everything and you just, it's like, cool, like kill the thing, you know, like,
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm
all for that. I don't want to like water down the rules. So that's why it's like, there's still like the rule of, you know, it's like, okay, well here's a minus 10, here's a plus
12,
man.
Whatever. I mean, it's like,
you know, what's I want everyone
fun,
to feel
what feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, that's why like the rules are all just
guidelines,
suggestions.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, do what feels good. Do what feels right. Do what the dice indicate. You know, go with that and make sure everyone's having a good time. I mean, that's like the most important aspect.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, it's always challenging, though. Combat can be tough. But if done well, it's, you know, some people's favorite part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's completely fine. It just depends on, like, okay, like, that's your favorite part. Like, what about it? Is it literally, like, the board game aspect of it? Is that the thing that's the draw, or is it, you know, like,
well, I think it's, you know, I mean, like, I think there's an exciting part of D&D because, like, okay, if you remove the combat and stuff, you're largely just sitting around just telling a story, right?
Right. Yeah.
Which can be really fun, sure. Mm-hmm. But that combat makes it a game, and having those defined rules of the combat itself and the abilities that you have, I think a lot of players find enjoyment in that, where it's like, oh, I finally have this spell and I can use this, and they start thinking through scenarios that way.
Yep.
And that's a lot of fun for people. So the combat is very important, I think. So it's something that can't be ignored. But yeah, no, definitely. And you got to tailor it to be dynamic,
right? There needs to be something where it's like you're not just the elf like shooting an arrow. Like it needs to be like, okay, like what are you trying to do? What are you aiming
for? It's tough
like
sometimes because kind of some classes are just more, you know, skewed towards having more options. Like if you're a wizard, you're gonna have 1,000 more options than your local barbarian.
Yeah.
So it's about how you can be creative, and I'm a big proponent of creativity will always overcome any obstacle in that game, where it's like if you have a very creative person and the DM is open-minded, they could be playing the most straightforward champion warrior or fighter class and be the most dynamic, cool person, even though they're technically just swinging their sword every round, you know, through the role playing, through the give and take of what they're doing with their movement and interacting with maybe some environmental aspects. They could be like, you know, doing a lot, right? So yeah. That's the beauty of the game, right? It's like you're only limited by your creativity.
Agreed.
Yeah. So
anyway,
that's cool though. Yeah, that's interesting.
I was trying to just see what's out there and kind of see what, like, even just reading through like the basic rules, there's a lot of like actual rules. It's like we do homebrew stuff even without calling it homebrew stuff, right?
Exactly.
Like it's just kind of like we just overlook some things. So I'm trying to see what's worth doing and what's not, and it's you know, I want to make it where it's like just think, like there needs to be this level of like you can't take things for granted. And it's not going to be like you have to like roll a dice every 5 feet that you walk for stuff. But like there needs to be some level of like one of the things like with short rests and long rests and things like that. That's always a big deal where, oh, I'll just long rest. Oh, we just fought everything. Okay, long rest. I'm fully healed and I'm done now. That can't happen in this campaign. Like there needs to be some sort of level of like, and like I was reading up on like how other people kind of approach this, where it's like, okay, well, you can only recover like all your HP and do an actual long rest and things at like an inn or a specific camp or like very specific areas that are like considered like safe or that you can do. You can't just like pull over on the side of the road and take a quick siesta, you know?
Right.
So trying to nail down that and figuring out like, okay, like, yeah, you can press on, you can do these things, you can do like, you can do whatever you want, but you can't just throw everything you have at this like wolf and just blast him with every spell in the book and then sleep for 8 hours where you kill them and then move on to the next one. You know, like there needs to be a level of danger and you have to kind of pick and choose like, okay, well, do I really want to use, you know, this second level spell now, or do I want to try to wait for it and stuff like that? Like there needs to be a level of thought. I think that's the thing, is like I just want players to think and try to really internalize it. Like if this was real world, like, you know, maybe you can't just run back to town every encounter just to to kind of spam health and heals and different things like that. Maybe you actually have to consider like, okay, are we stocked up on health potions and food and water and different things? So I don't want it to be like brutal, but I also don't want it to be just we gloss over it, like whatever.
Right.
So it's going to be a tightrope walk, but
yeah. And I think as time goes on, you kind of find that balance too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I've heard of games where to recover full health, it takes a week or a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like real life. Long, like if you get cut up in battle.
Yeah.
Like a long rest is like a week.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And a short rest is your 8 hours.
Yeah.
You can extend that time period, and that, if you want to do like a realistic campaign, like that's probably the more the route you're going. And that's like, that's, I mean, it depends who your players are, right? Some people really like that. That would be more of a slow grind. We're going to try to avoid conflict. We're going to, you know what I mean? And we're only going to fight when necessary because we understand. And if the DM is playing that game too, its enemies will probably do that as well because everyone's valuing their own life.
Yeah.
That can be the challenge from the DM's perspective too, because like the players only have one character, and obviously that's really important to keep themselves alive.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But the DM has infinite number of players, and sometimes DMs can fall into this trap of like just throwing enemies at the players because they have no skin in the game.
Yeah.
they have an infinite reserve of goblins. Mm-hmm. So it's like you got to keep that in mind. And I feel like good storytelling can help that as well, because once you start giving names to enemies and a little bit of background, absolutely. It's like there's some investment there, and there's some there could be some interesting dynamics and stuff. So
yeah, we'll see how it plays out. That's the thing, is like it's a balance.
But right,
I just want it to be. I think my main thing is I want it to be different enough that it does feel distinct from other campaigns that we've played and run and different things like that. Like I want it to be. This is like, I don't know. It's not the Dark Souls of D&D, but I want it to be a little bit more thought-provoking than just run out.
No, I think it's very interesting concepts, and I like where your head's at, where your thought process is. So
we'll see.
I think it has a lot of potential.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I had.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. If you made it this far, we appreciate that.
Yes.
Check us out, couchcompany.games. We got reviews. We got scores. We got
top fives.
We got the podcast.
Yeah.
Everything's on there. We're going to be here, same time, same place next week. Thanks for joining us on the couch. Peace.